And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
What's little birdie?
Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Terms or restrictions apply.
This drink is so yummy.
Yeah, it was a good call.
Somebody called you?
No, it was a good call.
Who called?
No, it's a euphemism.
Who's euphemism? Who is that?
No.
Is euphem his first name or his last name?
It's an expression. It's like saying he passed away instead of he died.
He died? Oh my god, that's so sad. Did he know me? I bet he met me when I was just a boy. It's so sad. It's torture that people die like that. So young too, I bet. How old was he? I have to go. I have a thing.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
Twist ending.
Good morning, sweet world. Welcome to the No Dunks podcast on the Athletic Network. It's Tuesday, January 31st, 2023. I'm J.E. Skeets here in the Classic Factory, and alongside me, as always, that's Tass Mellis.
Podcast listeners, this is for you.
Next to him, it's the bearded one, my top shot hot boy, Trey Kirby.
Hey-o!
Hey-o! And last but not least, making the magic happen, if that's what you want to call it here this morning, it's JD!
You guys ever been water skiing?
Yes.
You know, when you tell the boat to go, but you don't even have the rope in your hand?
Mm-hmm.
That's what just happened.
Yeah. Well, why the rush?
Was 10:09, man,
who
gives, or 10:10.
Who cares? Who gives a shit? We're not.
Oh,
you know,
the stream team cares. Yeah, they're like,
cares.
Where are these?
What do they got nothing to do?
That's
they're not
true.
Going anywhere.
They're just sitting and chatting. Anyways, hello.
What's up, man? Shout out to that stream team for joining us live on YouTube. Like the vid. Please subscribe if you haven't done that. And chat away to each other and to us, too. Get your comments in there in the stream team. Get your tickets to our No Dunks live show in Salt Lake City over All-Star Weekend. Friday, February 17th. At 8 p.m. on the dot, gentlemen. Not 8:08, not 8:09, 8 p.m. We hit the stage. You know that's not true, especially with a live show. I'll be surprised if we're out there by 8:30. Anyway, it's at the Urban Lounge. VIP meet and greet packages are available. There's a few left, and those come with preferred seating, by the way. So if you want to get the VIP, hang out with us a good hour before the show and then make our way over. To the location next door for the actual show, go grab one, or otherwise just get a general admission ticket. A link to buy those tickets is down there in the show notes. And tonight, we're firing up another NBA watch party at exactly 7:30 p.m. Eastern. Not 7:38, not 7:30. We're going to start with the Lakers-Knicks, but we'll bounce around.
Yeah.
To a few other games. What do we got there? Heat Cavs, Clippers Bulls. You know, Tass is a maestro with the playback remote. So
yeah, I heard our friend Jared Greenberg on NBA Crunch Time yesterday saying it's the only NBA whip around show, which is probably true, but we'll do an NBA whip around light tonight. We'll bounce around.
Light whip.
Yeah.
Would you like to
light
come up,
whipping for Valentine's Day? Just a light one.
Would you like to come up with a name for like the whip around that we're doing here on Playbacks? You know, I was trying to think of one. Like we had court surfing back in the day, mm-hmm. and then what's Greenberg's? What's it called?
Crunch.
Crunch.
Crunch NBA time. Crunch time. They say it's a crunchy one. He says that a lot.
That's nice.
It's a crunchy game. As in, it's a close game. It's a crunchy game.
Don't mind it.
They've got hours to fill, so, you know, they come up with things.
Do we come up
with
one?
Yeah.
How about crunch surfing?
No?
All right.
Surf crunch.
Something like
water skiing.
Passing the rock.
Game guys.
Water skiing. Join us on water skiing where we jump around from game to game. All right, we'll come up with a name. We'll do it tonight
game
on Playback.
Guys. Yep,
come hang with us. It's a lot of fun. You can get a free Playback account, and then you just log in with whatever your subscription service is to watch games, be it Hulu, YouTube TV, League Pass, DirecTV, whatever you use. You sign in with that, and then we're all watching at the exact same time.
117 points for LeBron James to pass Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Will he do it?
Tonight. Tonight. On Playback.
Tune in.
Yeah.
Tune in.
Okay, well, on today's podcast, we are going to get to some hypothetical trades. We'll talk a little bit about Nick Nurse and whether the Raptors head coach is on the hot seat. But let's start with the games. We'll begin with De'Aaron Fox and Trey Lyles. Helping the Kings outlast the Wolves 118-111 in overtime. This was their second game in a row. Wolves took the first one. Kings take this one. Entertaining, obviously an overtime game. Some fun storylines in this one, but what were your takeaways, Tess?
Well, I just love the intensity of this game. First, Domantas Sabonis getting tossed. He was tossed because he fouled out, but it looked like he could have got tossed earlier when he got pissed off. You don't see Domantas Sabonis get angry ever. And he was extremely angry when there was a non-call. It seemed like he got ejected for it.
Yeah,
because
he
thought he got
back.
Ejected.
Yeah, because he went to the back. Awesome. But apparently he just wanted to cool down. Mm. And there was only one way to do it.
JD, are you okay?
bring the boat back around. Bring it around.
We can just start over if you want.
I'm just sitting in the dust here. I'm just pressing buttons. Don't mind me.
I know. Yeah. Second day in a row where you're like, let's just press that. See what that does.
Yeah, we had a little visual malfunction for our podcast listeners just now who don't understand what's happening. But anyway, Domantas Sabonis went to the back, and it looked like he was ejected.
Yeah.
He was so angry. You literally don't see that too often. But a smart move. Go cool off in the back. Apparently, DeMarcus Cousins had that as a rule with Alvin Gentry back in the day with New Orleans. Like, if you get angry, go to the back. But I had never heard that of any other NBA player. But Sabonis went to the back. You don't see that happen too often. But he came up because this did feel like a playoff game. And then eventually when he fouled out, it looked like the Kings were going to lose. Especially the Kings and the way that they struggled to shoot. Yeah, Fox had 32 in the end, but it was on 27 shots. This was a game that they would usually lose. And these stretch of games here. They're on the 7-game road trip. It felt like they were going to lose this game, but a Kings team that just fought back without Sabonis and played really well with Trey Lyles at the 5 in overtime there to stretch out Rudy Gobert, which really, really helped. 50 games in, a team that's responding really, really well to a little adversity there. If you're a Kings fan, you got to be very optimistic going into the All-Star game that they fought through a game where Kevin Huerter stunk and the bench came through and helped out. So just overall, a positive Kings vibe in this one.
What do you think, TK?
This was a fun game to watch. I thought De'Aaron Fox, I don't know how he only scored 8 points in the fourth quarter. It felt like he had a lot more. He was just in the lane all the time. A lot of teardrops, a lot of floaters. I thought that was cool. I thought Trey Lyles was awesome in the fourth quarter, or in overtime, more so, 8 points of his 11, and it was kind of a change of pace, like you were saying. Sabonis and Gobert had a really fun matchup to watch the entire night, just bashing into each other, banging on the glass, and, you know, just being big physical dudes. And then Trey Lyles comes in for the last 5 minutes of the game, and it's like, uh-oh, Rudy Gobert suddenly got to guard a fast guy, put the ball on the floor, blew by him for a slam dunk, and one, hit a three. It was just cool to see the Kings have a curveball, really, in overtime, but the Timberwolves kind of gave this game away. They missed their first 6 free throws, shot really poorly on the night, and then they had so many dumb turnovers, particularly after getting a stop. Like, they'd be trying to fast break the other way, and it always seemed to be Harrison Barnes intercepting a pass at half court. 21 points off of turnovers for Sacramento in this one. And, you know, in a game between two teams who are pretty close with each other, you know, the Timberwolves just beat the Kings, so it's not totally surprising to see it go the other way. Just too many times where they lacked attention to detail for Minnesota to pull out this win.
Yeah.
And miscommunication on the defensive end just over and over.
Oh, especially D'Angelo Russell there giving up a Trey Lyles dunk underneath, like miscommunication in terms of, like, are we switching? Who's picking him up? Yeah. I mean, that was sort of the nail in the coffin in overtime there.
And he was pointing.
Yeah.
Should have been pointing at himself.
Yeah. Oh, man, D'Angelo Russell, he has got to be one of the more, like, frustrating players in the league, especially if I was like a, you know, a Wolves fan. Like, he has incredible games. We talked about him on Monday's podcast. You know, I lumped him in as a winner of the weekend with Anthony Edwards and the Wolves picking up wins because he, you know, takes over quarters, gets hot, plays well, sets up guys. He has a couple nice passes in this game. But then he has these rough games where he can't shoot, 2 for 10 from 3, 4 of 16 overall, some bad turnovers, and then just the lack of concentration on the defensive end. I just find he'd be just very tough to watch night in, night out, because it's like, wow, this guy's amazing, and then, whoa, my God, this guy's sort of killing us. Like, what's he doing out there? Feels like game to game. I mean, yes. Wolves fans can probably speak better to that than I can, but even me just watching a lot of them, it's like, oh, God, this guy. Who are you, man? Figure it out. It's like he's sort of El Tizo in a way, because he has those brilliant stretches, but this was a bad one, especially that play. And back to the Kings, you're right. These are the types of games the Kings need to win here, right, to maintain that spot in the Western Conference playoff standings, and I would even say to prepare yourselves for a playoff series. They haven't been there in a very, very long time. There are going to be games like this. Teams can't shoot threes, defense a little bit more locked in. Yeah, this was sloppy, sure, but you got to win these ones where you just don't go out and score 135 points, right? It's more of a low-scoring affair, and they pulled it off. And I thought this was a nice little battle here between Anthony Edwards and De'Aaron Fox for possibly that final All-Star spot. I mean, the coaches have already got their ballots in. This game last night will have no impact on that, but... I think these two, look, I think we could come on Friday's podcast and go, these are the two biggest snubs. They both could not make it.
Sure.
Maybe just one makes it. You know, maybe both make it, probably unlikely, but they both had a, you know, really good games over probably over these last two, I thought, where they went head to head.
Yeah, and as Trey said, it felt like Fox did a lot more than have 8 points in the fourth quarter because he was leading his squad to the right shots. And that's what mattered here with Sabonis out. I kind of liked how it was on Fox's shoulders to lead the way, even though, you know, he is their leading ball handler. A lot of it goes through Sabonis, but these are nice little preparation minutes for the postseason that they should have. Sounded like a Preparation H commercial that I just said, you know, like preparation minutes. Sounded like you had tummy troubles. Anyway, it's important to have these moments that you go through. And yeah, as you said, they didn't shoot the ball well. They didn't start the third quarter well, but they just battled back. Ugly win. It was an ugly game in the end, but some good battles out there.
You had a tweet about Malik Monk his layups, and I saw it, and I was like, I was thinking the exact same thing. Can you explain like what you like, the weird type of layups this guy sort of does?
He is a guy who gets to the rim, but has his hand over the rim and doesn't dunk it.
Yeah.
You know?
He almost just drops it in.
Yeah. He gets up high.
Yeah.
And then it's not a finger. I guess it is a finger roll, but there's no roll. It's just a.
He just
get it up there.
Just cup, leaves it.
Let
yeah.
it go. So it's unique.
Yeah.
Just doesn't throw it down. It looks cool. It's just doesn't happen a lot. You know, it's not a scoop shot because he's not under the bucket. But it works. He was key in this game.
He was. Especially, yeah, Herter had a brutal game shooting. He shot bad in both of those games against the Wolves. But they pulled it off. Fun game. Go check the highlights. Kings-Wolves.
Last note. Yeah. Shouldn't have even gone to OT. Monster travel by Jaden McDaniels on the three. He looked pretty surprised to be wide open. Stumbled. Wanting to pass it to the corner. Realized, wait a second, I should just take this three. Traveled again and then dribbled. Knocked it down. Kings would have had a beef, because that's coming back on the last.
Well, there's actually there's a tweet from the @official NBA refs.
Okay,
they tweeted, like everyone else, referees make mistakes. We made one at the end of last night's game, and that is gut wrenching for us. This play will weigh heavily and cause sleepless nights as we strive to be the best referees we can be. Now, maybe not as sleepless because Kings did go
back,
on to win in overtime, but a little tossing and turning, get comfortable with your arm in the pillow. That was the NBA officials last night. So they're apologizing for that one, too.
It's a tough thing. It's a flywheel effect. Because they miss this call, then they don't go to sleep. So they have no energy for the game the next day, where they miss another call, can't sleep that night.
Yeah.
By the end of the season, these referees are going to be going on, what, 6 months without sleep?
Yeah.
Terrible.
Yeah, zombies.
Yeah.
Luka Doncic scores 53 in his return as the Mavericks beat the Pistons 111-105. Yeah, the Mavs needed basically all 53 of Luka's points. It was the Luka versus Pistons game, especially in the first quarter where he had like 24 of their 30 Luka had in the first quarter and finished with 53 in the end. Any thoughts?
Well, he hugged his Balkan bro after the game, Bojan Bogdanovic, and it felt like he was saying, come play with me. Play with me. Can we make a deal? Let's talk to Troy Weaver. Let's get Troy Weaver. Let's get Mark Cuban in a room and come play with me. Because he needs help. He needs some offensive ability. And I know Sean Sharani of The Athletic has reported that Dorian Finney-Smith, his teammate, is available in a trade for a star. You're not getting a star for Dorian Finney-Smith. Let's be honest. No. Dorian Finney-Smith is a young. I mean, he's not young anymore. He is a complimentary player. That's the problem with the Mavs roster is you got to compile a couple of these guys and you got to have another team want those couple of supporting players to be able to get somebody like Bojan Bogdanović, who I think would be the absolute ceiling that the Mavs could get in return here in 9 days. But they needed everything that Luka gave them. He looked tired in the second quarter, really, and well, he was still able to do
everything in the first quarter. You can't really blame him. And he said I guess blame is not the right word, but he credited his 53-point performance because the Pistons' assistant coach, Jerome Allen, was chirping at him, to use Luka's actual terminology. Like, he was talking trash, like, right from the jump.
Just chirping.
Pissed Luka off. He's like, I'm going to put 53 up on your head. Weird.
Did he know who Jerome Allen was, or did he just say a coach? That'd be impressive if he knew who.
I'm not sure Luka actually specifically named him.
It was reported in the AP, though, that it was Jerome Allen. So AP got to the bottom of it and just put him on blast.
Yeah.
I don't know. Probably chirp at anybody else on the Mavericks, I would say.
Right.
You know, there's one guy you're worried about scoring 50-plus, not the one to talk to, because every other Maverick outside of Spencer Dinwiddie was in single digits. Dinwiddie, 12 points, 10 of them in the fourth quarter. Went 5 for 16 to score 12 points. So sometimes you got to score 53 points for your team to win, and that's what it was for the Mavs last night.
This was Jerome Allen who used to play in the league.
Yeah.
Had a cup of coffee like a couple of years.
I had to Google it.
Yeah. How many total points do you think Jerome Allen had in his, call it 2 or 3 year NBA career?
53.
No.
69?
No, it's more. It is more, but only total of 360 or something. I already lost it here. So not a lot. He averaged 336. He averaged less than 3 points per game.
I wonder if Malik Allen, who's on the Heat's bench, averaged more. That's the only Allen I know as an assistant coach. I didn't even realize Jerome Allen
I didn't either.
Was an assistant
Malik
coach.
Malik Allen. But, hold on. Now we need to know his career. Oh, yes. 4.9 points per game for Malik Allen.
I could see him
much longer career.
How about LaVoy Allen?
Oh, Jesus. Yeah. All right. LaVoy, I'm going to say
that's
less.
That's recent, right?
He's
2010s.
I bet him and Malik Allen had crossover.
Really?
LaVoy Allen, 6-year career, average 4.8.
Okay.
Very similar.
Okay. What about this
to
Allen?
Malik. What about this Allen?
Leading Allen scorer of all time, lock it in, Ray Allen.
Ray Allen, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Not Allen
lock
Ray.
It in. Not Allen Ray.
No. Okay, let me lump some other games together here. First in the West, we had Curry scoring 38 points. He had 12 assists as well as the Warriors topped the Thunder. We had Mikal Bridges scoring 29. Suns pulled away late, beat the Raptors 114-106. And we had Lillard scoring 42. Blazers hold off the Hawks 129-125. So the Warriors, the Suns, and the Blazers all picking up wins there. And we'll show you the Western Conference standings in a second, but any of those games that you wanted to touch on?
We're in a weird place where there's a game where a guy scores 42 going against another guy, DeJounte Murray, scores 40, and it's just a note.
Yeah.
Yep.
At the end of things. Yep. But that's what happened for Damian Lillard scoring 42, beating the Hawks. I saw John Mayer was also one of the guests for Bill Walton on Throw It Down.
Oh.
They were talking about how he learned how to play the guitar. No surprise. but I thought pretty bad help from DeAndre Hunter on that last play when Anthony Simons was wide open for a three. Like Lillard goes by, I'm sure it was Murray who was guarding Lillard, goes right by him. So Hunter helps from the strong side wing, like the easiest pass possible to Anthony Simons, who is a great three-point shooter. He knocks it down. That basically gave the Trailblazers the win. Afterwards, Anthony Simons was even like, I couldn't believe he helped off of me. Nobody usually helps off me like that. So I thought that was a pretty bonehead decision by Hunter there.
Yeah, and money from that corner, I do believe. So tough one, although some highlights from Bill Walton's second presentation as the secondary commentary with John Mayer and Charles Barkley joined.
I saw that,
And he was talking about Bridges. Mikal Bridges having a great game. Then he just started naming his favorite bridges multiple times. He talked bridges throughout the broadcast,
yeah.
Which was awesome.
Like he literally
Golden
like
Gate,
Golden, yeah,
yeah,
Brooklyn,
George Washington,
travel bridges.
Oh yeah,
not,
he was straight
not
up
human bridges.
No, straight up real
yeah, like,
architectural bridges.
Yes.
Architectural bridges.
And he like saying like how it's a metaphor for life.
The greatest metaphor for life
is a bridge.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah,
I agree.
I guess person to person, just reaching out. Connecting. So it was unfortunate. Yeah, you mentioned the dumb move there by DeAndre Hunter to come over from Simons. Unfortunately, same sort of thing happened with the Raps game where they didn't box out Torrey Craig. Torrey Craig for the Philadelphia, for the Phoenix Suns, getting an extra possession there to have Chris Paul seal it with a three. Torrey Craig just jumping over Fred mostly, but nobody getting to him. Looking like a Sean Marion from 15 years ago in Phoenix. Since we're naming old Allens, let's name an old son. Torrey Craig, yeah, got the board with this big headband, and that sealed the game, really. Mm-hmm. That was it. And so Mikal Bridges, yeah, a big one there of 29, as we said. Tough one for the Raps, but the Suns just outworked them. Outworked them a bit.
Mikal Bridges has turned it on as of late.
Yeah.
Remember we had like... It was like a couple weeks ago on this podcast. I know I was specifically sort of calling him out. Or like even just pointing out like, ooh, not maybe a lead guy on a team, right? We're seeing his limitations with no Booker, with no Chris Paul. Because he was having a lot of games which were like 10 points, rough shooting nights, you know, sort of disappearing within games. And they were losing a lot. But they've racked up a bunch of wins here. And I think a large part is he's like sort of, you know, found his footing as sort of their go-to guy. Shooting a much better percentage. Obviously still playing like his 40 minutes per game here. Hitting the three ball. So, you know, he's shutting me up a little bit and is getting maybe just more comfortable as he got those reps being the lead guy here with still no Booker in this lineup. And they've won here a significant amount of games now, the Suns. You know, they beat the Nets, they beat the Pacers, they beat the Grizzlies, they beat the Hornets. Okay, lost a close one to the Mavs in Rivals Week. That was the Dinwiddie game. And then followed up by beating the Spurs on the road and then took care of the Raptors at home. They've had a lot of home games, but... You know they're right here, and we might as well show the Western Conference standings too, because it is a mess. Not a lot of games separating, you know, really the third seeded Kings. Hell, down to the 10th, 11th, 12th team we could have included on this graphic if you wanted to. Kept it, cut it off at the play-in teams there. But, yeah, anything out to you?
The Warriors being fifth.
Yeah.
Big time.
That jumps out. Back-to-back road wins for the first time this season.
Wow.
4-2 on the road in January. Andrew Wiggins back last night.
That's big.
15 points in, I think it took him 13 shots, but at least they got him back. Only a game and a half back from fourth, 2.5 back from third. Don't let the Warriors get home court advantage if you're in the Western Conference. You want to beat them.
Yeah, that's the scary part. For a team like the Kings, who have a really long trip here before the All-Star break, the Clippers are coming on. So, yeah, the Kings are the worry spot, I would say, for – they're just in a tough spot because of the road trip yeah. coming up.
Oh,
and
sure.
Clippers and Warriors right on their butts.
Yeah, that's – I mean, it would just suck to be the Kings. Haven't made the playoffs in 16 years. They're in the third seed. They're the feel-good story of the league, really. The light, the beam, all that. Maybe two All-Stars, and then yeah, one bad week where they you know drop three in a row. Let's say to some tough competition,
yeah.
They could drop all the way down into like a play-in spot.
Sure.
I mean, just like that. So
I mean, it's gonna suck. It's honestly gonna be tough for the Kings regardless if they stay third.
Yeah.
They're getting a matchup with a team who's going to have a ton more postseason experience. Than
yeah,
they
yeah,
are,
yeah.
No matter who they end up playing. So, I don't know. Let's just enjoy it right now.
Yeah. That's why it was a good win.
Beam. Yeah.
That's why it was a good win last night.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. As for the Eastern Conference wins, we had Kyrie Irving scoring 26. Nets beat the Lakers 121-104. No LeBron James. No AD in that game. Banchero and the Magic rallied from an early hole. I think they were down 21. To the Sixers really early in this game, but they win 119-109. Philly, you know, the talk of the town, that seven-game win streak, was it? Everybody going nuts and beat out playing Jokic, and then they lose to a very pesky Magic team who's actually playing really well as of last month. And then the Wizards ended, get this, a 22-game skid in San Antonio. The Wizards had not won in San Antonio since 1999.
That's a sizable skid.
That's a skid where you throw the underwear out.
Ugh.
You are not washing
disgusting.
That. You are, you know, I don't care how great your washing machine is. how high efficient it is. I don't care how much Tide you put in that thing.
What if you got a stain stick?
Oh, you'd ruin it. You'd ruin the stick.
Maybe a spray would be better.
Anyway, you're throwing it out. It's that bad of a skid, and they snapped it. They got some fresh underwear. They beat the Spurs 127-106. Any thoughts on any of those three games?
Yeah, December 11th, 99, the last time the Wizards beat the Spurs. They're starting Strickland and Juwan Howard and an Ike Austin.
Most Mitch improved Richmond. Player, Ike Austin. Not that year, maybe, but...
Yeah.
You know. Mitch Richmond. Wow.
Mitch Richmond was a wizard. And then Jordan stole his spot. Steeler. Anyway.
Steeler.
Yeah, so that was a while. I think Denny Avdia... Quick Zard's love for him. He was 10 to 12 last night using his body. It's in a different evolution of his game. I thought just watching him yesterday, he's young, and I think he's just adding the physical nature to his game, just getting into the lane and pushing guys around a bit. It is the Spurs, but I think he's getting a little bit more confident. The trade of Rui Hachimura opened up some minutes for him, and he's played in 30 in three of the last four games. So I think he's getting an increased role and increased confidence. I think Denny just needs the confidence. He's got the game. He's got the game. I love Denny.
Any thoughts on those three games?
Well, according to the AP, Denny Avdia's new nickname is Turbo.
I saw this. I'm going to check. Let me check Basketball Reference, see how quick they are at that.
Yeah, I can't imagine they updated it yet. Apparently, Monty Morris gave him the nickname while the two were playing one-on-one. Morris playfully remarked that Avdia's hustle reminded him of the Turbo and Square move. In NBA 2K. Career high 25 for Turbo. Turbo Avdia.
I don't look at Denny Avdia and how he plays and think Turbo. I mean, he plays hard.
He plays hard.
Yeah, but
not fast.
No.
Not fast, no. But he's got an American Gladiators nickname now. Turbo.
Turbo, yeah.
Was there an American Gladiator named Turbo?
Hell yeah.
Yeah, there had to be. It's perfect.
Is it a woman? Female?
No, I thought there was a man. Turbo, I can sort of picture
definitely
him.
A Nitro.
There's a Nitro.
It's probably a Turbo. There got to be a lot of them eventually.
Nitro. Yeah, Turbo. There was a Turbo. His name was Galen Tomlinson.
Galen.
He excelled in most events. He was maybe the best athlete on the team. Jeez.
Wow, nice. Is Denny Avdia the best athlete on the Washington Wizards? I mean, he's probably a better athlete than, like, Kuzma.
Think so?
Porzingis. He's Turbo, man. He's Turbo.
I didn't even realize that was a career high 25 for him yesterday.
Kind of surprising.
Oh, there's Turbo. That was quick.
What a striking man.
You can see the resemblance to Avdia. Totally. Tank top, side part.
It would be cool if, like, one team... Actually, the Wizards, I mean, I know they have a bunch of alternates now, but they do have the red, white, and blue color palette. Yeah. Very American Gladiators-like. Like, everybody on the team had an American Gladiator name.
Yeah,
Turbo and Nitro and
Siren.
Yeah, she was deaf, right?
That's right. Yeah, you're right. You're right. Yeah. Who will be Lace?
I used to love
Daniel Gafford.
Gladiators.
I think would be Lace. My other takeaway from this.
I agree with that. I can see that. Okay, go ahead.
My other takeaway: the Sixers. They missed Rivals Week.
Yeah,
I think they missed Rivals Week. They came out, smacked the Magic in the first quarter, and basically are like, this game's over.
Yeah.
Let's just chill here. Embiid had 21 in the first half, just 9 in the second half. They've won a lot of games in a row, and the Magic are a scrappy team. Plus, this is pretty rare, actually. The Sixers were on the last end of a back-to-back-to-back. They had the win against the Nuggets on Saturday. Then they partied with Meek Mill and Lil Baby at the Eagles game on Sunday. Then they had to go to Orlando for a game on Monday. So you can understand a schedule loss there for Philadelphia.
Hmm. Hadn't thought about that.
Yeah.
Though Embiid and Harden did play, so...
Yes,
kudos to them. But
They let go of the rope there in the second half after that big victory, or after the big lead that they got out to. They just chilled, and the Magic were playing hard. Markelle Fultz was getting physical. Mo Wagner got embarrassed Embiid in the fourth quarter a couple times.
I agree. Embiid flopped on a drive by Mo Wagner. That was comical to me.
Yeah. And he bit on a pump fake.
Yeah. Mm.
Yeah. Very strange. Very strange. That's going to Mo Wagner's highlight reel for his career, I imagine.
You think so?
Yeah, it was pretty stuff. And the Nets came through with their bench. The depth on their bench was monstrous. While I was watching, I heard the stat that they had 60 points from their bench specifically, and now I keep adding it up, and it keeps getting higher and higher. So I don't even want to say the number that I'm seeing here, but it keeps getting higher and higher. I think it's 66, if I'm seeing that correctly. But big games from Patty and Cam Thomas, who is a bucket off the bench.
Yeah.
Both had 21 off the bench.
Cam Thomas smiled.
Oh, he doesn't smile.
Kyrie
right.
made him smile. Yeah, he said he doesn't smile because shit ain't funny.
I like that.
Lakers are funny.
Yeah, that's true.
So that seems a joke. That's what he said.
So he was laughing.
Yep.
And for the Magic, just back to them quickly. They are the best worst team in the league, right? The Magic?
Sure.
With it set up here, like I enjoy watching
best
them.
Bad team.
With the Wagners, obviously Banchero is like he's rookie of the year, like we've said, like from week one, continued to play really, really well. Wendell Carter Jr. Like the pieces are fun. And yeah. their record, I don't have it in front of me, but it was going around, like, after a very, very brutal start where they lost a ton of games, it's very respectable over, like, the last month. It's like
I think they started 6-20, and then they're, like, 15-11 since.
Yeah.
Pretty good. So it's between them and the Lakers for the best bad team.
Spicy. Let's see the Eastern Conference standings real quick there, JD. Thank you, sir. Hey, JD, if you're feeling frisky, just press a button over there. See what happens. Celtics still at the top there. 2.5-game lead over the Bucks. Sixers drop a half game back of them with that loss to the Magic. Nets hanging around. Cavs there. There's the Heat. And then in the play-in right now, it's Knicks, Hawks, Wizards, Bulls. The Wizards, I forgot to say, are on a 6-game win streak.
5 of them are on the road, too. The Wizards are balling right now.
I know.
The Gladiators themselves.
Yes, yes. They are in the gauntlet.
Yes.
Oh, man.
Yes, they are.
Yeah, Turbo! Wow, he had long hair and then short hair, this guy. Maybe he lost, I don't know, in the Eliminator. Got caught in the gears. His hair came off. I don't know. I've told you the story. I was in a shop class when a girl named Holly's hair got caught in the lathe.
Oof.
That was not a great day at
school. Holly's hair.
Yeah.
Good job. I believe it. I want to say it was Rob. A man named Rob hit the emergency button that they always tell you about. But
yeah.
To shut everything down. It's quick thinking. Because it still wasn't good.
Did they have to cut
hair,
it?
Hair was lost.
Yeah,
but
hair was lost.
She had very long hair. And it was... Man, shop class. We also had a shop teacher who was missing a thumb, like from the bandsaw, like years prior.
This guy's legit.
Yeah, but like, what a like when he was giving that first lesson, he's like, "Don't do this because this will happen," and then this thumb's gone. And we're like, "Holy crap!"
Each one teach one.
Yeah. Anyway,
he wasn't giving guitar lessons. I bet no thumbs, or one lack of a thumb. It'd be tough. You could use a
you
pick,
could do
I guess.
It.
Oh, no, I guess you don't really need them. But, you know, holding the guitar. Anyway, that's too bad about Holly.
She's okay. Any more thoughts before we take our first break on any of those games last night?
I think we got to.
Okay, good.
I'm good.
Let's take our first break, and when we come back, we got a bunch of hypothetical trades in Grade That Trade. Don't go anywhere.
If only starting your fitness journey was as easy as starting this podcast, that would make me so happy. The truth is, all the lift big, get big, and beach body ready in 3 weeks pressure stops most of us from even starting. And starting is what matters most. It's everything, really. It really is. Wherever you're beginning and wherever you want to be, Peloton encourages you to just start. With thousands of classes to get you moving and doing what you can. If that's a 10-minute low-impact class, they got those. And when you're ready, take it up a gear. You know, a 30-minute live DJ ride. DJ John Michael, that guy plays the hits. He always gets me going. Start with Peloton and find instructors that will keep you motivated to stay on your fitness journey. Learn the basics and build from there. Remember, doing something is everything. Get started with a Peloton bike or Bike Plus rental at onepeloton.com/bike/rentals. onepeloton.com/bike/rentals. Terms apply.
I'm Trey Wingo.
And I'm Kevin Frazier. We're teaming up on a new weekly sports podcast from Wondery, Alternate Routes.
As former SportsCenter anchors and current sports obsessives, we're consumed by all the what-if questions that make being a sports fan so excruciatingly fun.
If you're like us, then you also live and die on the fallout from every drop pass, busted draft pick, and game-changing play.
Or play call.
Intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Sorry, Marshawn, still too soon. Each week on Alternate Routes, we'll take a flashpoint in sports, break down what actually happened, then explore every alternate scenario and the ripple effects it would have caused.
Follow and listen to Alternate Routes on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
I mean, the possibilities are limitless, Kevin.
What if Portland drafted Michael Jordan?
What if the NBA never vetoed the Chris Paul trade to the Lakers? That's a butterfly effect for real.
All right, if you're here live right now on YouTube, take a second and give a thumbs up for the shop teachers out there and their missing thumbs. That was a great comment there in the stream team.
Take a thumb, leave a thumb.
That's right. Just hit that little thumbs up. Helps us out. No one really knows, but we like to see those thumbs very high in numbers.
Yes, we do.
Yes. Okay, what were I going to do? Yeah, okay, we got this. Latest rumor dump from Shams at The Athletic implies that the Raptors are still trying to figure out what they're going to do at the deadline. All right? Are the Raptors buyers? Are the Raptors sellers? Are they tinkering? Are they rebuilding this whole damn thing, you know, around a Scotty Barnes or something? But one of the juicier tidbits in Shams' piece yesterday was related to Raptors head coach Nick Nurse. Quote, "There's been frustration throughout the roster and staff with the team's play at points of this season, and that has been directed toward Nurse at times too, according to sources." End quote. Nurse will be entering the final season of his current contract this offseason. Is Raptors coach Nick Nurse on the hot seat? I ask you that, Tass.
No. I don't think so. No.
Does he deserve some blame for maybe how disappointing the season's gone?
Absolutely. Okay. And I understand the locker room may not be entirely happy with Nick Nurse, but I just think this is a case of everything has gone to poop in the Raptors locker room. No one's winning. And I think that's just the case. What always happens. Everybody's going to get some blame. Everybody deserves some blame, but he's signed through next season. Mm-hmm. He's making $8 million. As the report goes, that's plenty for him. I think he should be happy with that. I don't think he was unhappy with his contract by any means. And I think he's going to see this through until 2024. And then, you know, we'll decide where we go. I understand.
You don't usually like to have a head coach like a lame duck head coach in their, you know, final season of a contract. Generally, NBA teams don't do that.
Sure.
Not that they couldn't come to a new contract in the offseason.
Nick Nurse has earned whatever he wants. To me, if he wants to coach as a lame duck, fine. If they want to discuss an extension in the offseason, also fine.
He's still one of the better coaches in the league and has proven that.
He has not gotten the most out of his players this season. There's no doubt.
Yeah.
He has not pressed the right buttons. Did he believe the Barnes hype train before everybody else and gave him a little too much responsibility? I would say yes, because it hasn't worked out, but that may be on Scotty Barnes as well. So I do believe in Nick Nurse to some degree. So is he on the hot seat? I think no chance that they're going to fire him between now and the offseason. No chance.
I agree. I think it's more lame duck than hot seat if you're going for the term here, because he's going to be going into his last season of the contract. Maybe the message is wearing thin a little bit. The players are playing a ton of minutes. He's a little bit of a Tibbs junior. This season, 3 of the top 20 in minutes per game, Raptors. Last season, 4 of the top 20. Year before that, it was Pascal and Fred. It's basically been a playoff rotation for 3 seasons for the Raptors, and the results are just not quite there the way they were right after the championship season. You know, they won a playoff series, then they didn't win a playoff series, and now they're going to be fighting to even get into the playoffs. So maybe next year is the last year for Nurse. I don't think they'll fire him. They'll maybe give him a chance to come back, or he might want to go somewhere else as well, depending on what the Raptors do here at the deadline.
Yeah, I think you said it there, Tass. There is blame to go around to everybody, including like the Raptors front office with like limitations of this roster. I mean, they need a center or a backup center at the very least, now that Precious is back. They could use some more guard play. Like, there are holes in the roster. But then Nurse has not been amazing. What he's done with some of the guys coming off the bench has been perplexing at times, especially Chris Boucher, who at like times is thrown out there, times you don't see for weeks, it feels like. And so it's odd. And he's like, I get it. He's trying to like figure things out. And there's been injuries and all of that. And then there's blame on the players too, like in terms of like stretches where they played poorly. So I don't think he's going anywhere though. And I still think Nick Nurse, I do believe, is one of the better coaches. It's proven he's one of the better coaches in the league in terms of creativity and trying things. But that part of like running guys maybe into the ground can catch up to you as an organization. We'll see. A lot of people still think Raptors might make a move here with 9 or 10 days to go. Are they moving off one of their core pieces? Are they doing something to either try and salvage the season or look forward to the future with some of their star players? We'll find out. Anyway, that deadline is it's like less than 10 days away. 9 days?
Soon.
What do you call it? 9 days or 10 days? It's February 9th. Today's the 31st.
Nine.
Okay, 9 days away.
I go nine, because counting.
Niner.
And yesterday, Bleacher Report's Dan Favalli, he dropped his ultimate 2023 NBA trade deadline cheat sheet. Okay? This thing had it all. Untouchable players. Notable trade assets. Whether teams will be buyers or sellers at the deadline. Incoming and outgoing draft picks. Salary cap situations. And most importantly, hypothetical trades each team to pursue, or at least consider. You know I picked a few of my favorites, so let's run back a very popular segment here on No Dunks called Grade That Trade. Yeah! We're in the classroom. We're grading trades. Let's do it!
All right!
Well, we talked about the Mavericks. They got to get Lucas some help. We even talked about D'Angelo Russell being like, at times, sort of a borderline... he's not an all-star, but you know what I mean? Looking like an all-star at times and then looking like a very bad player at other times. Anyway, Dan Favalli here has a trade. Mavs, Wolves. Mavericks get D'Angelo Russell. The Wolves get Tim Hardaway Jr., Dwight Powell, and a 2027 second-round pick, so a future second-round pick. Thoughts? Would you like to grade that trade, TK?
Yeah. I forgot we were grading.
Well,
here.
Hold on. I don't know why there's a Lakers logo here.
He used to play. D'Angelo Russell used to play for the Lakers.
Yes. Jesus, we're having one hell of a day here.
Minnesota used to have the Lakers.
Minnesota,
many
Lakers.
Many moons ago, many moons.
A lot of lakes there.
I will grade this trade.
Water skiing happened.
Okay,
there.
D'Angelo Russell is going to the Mavs in this hypothetical trade. The Wolves get Tim Hardaway Jr., Dwight Powell, and that's future second round pick.
Yeah, well, we're just working out the kinks here before trade deadline.
That's right.
Yeah. we'll be pumping
it's
out.
Negotiations.
Yeah.
I don't mind it. I'll give it a B. Solid B. Solid B on the old... report card. It would be the Mavericks going all in on offense, because eventually you're going to have to play Luka, obviously. You're going to have to play D'Angelo Russell because you just traded for him, and you're going to have to play Spencer Dinwiddie because he's one of your best players. So you got those three. Christian Wood eventually, whenever he's back. That's four offense first players. Dorian Finney-Smith would, I guess, have to guard every single player out there. He's likely the only other guy that you're going, but with Russell's contract coming to an end at the end of the season, this gives the Mavericks a chance to chase again, to chase somebody in the offseason when they also have access to a bunch of picks. I like it a little bit less for the Timberwolves. You get Tim Hardaway Jr. on a long deal at a decent price, but Dwight Powell could maybe replace Naz Reid if Minnesota decides to trade Naz Reid. So I think it's okay. You know, I think this is the kind of trade where it's like okay for both teams.
Yeah.
Which means it's realistic.
Yeah, I go lower. I'm not really excited about it. I can see it from the Mavs' perspective. They get help. I think that was the way this trade was designed. D'Angelo Russell comes in. Obviously, some defensive worries. Big time. But you do get another ball handler. You get some offense. But you lack some defense, and that's a big problem. I mean, he really is not as good as Jalen Brunson was last year. And so you're just going to be struggling on the defensive end. So that's the worry there. You gave up, you know, a decent amount for him. On the other side, the Wolves, they're getting Tim Hardaway, Dwight Powell, and that 2027 second-round pick. I don't like it all that much. I think you see Tim Hardaway will be taking minutes from, like, connecting-type guys, like maybe Torian Prince, Kyle Anderson, a young Jalen Noel, or Austin Rivers even, or Jordan McLaughlin even. I don't think that's really a recipe for success for them. And Dwight Powell, yeah, maybe long-term he helps fill the hole Naz Reid, but he's not going to play now behind Gobert, Towns, and Reed. He's not going to play this season, I don't think. I think the Timberwolves would be smarter. A little U-turn here.
Yeah.
If they go to Denver, who is rumored to be trading Bones Highland, and they need depth, if you go a 2-for-1 with your depth for Bones Highland, this doesn't work out exactly, but it could with their trade exception and a third team. Torian Prince and Naz Reid for Bones Highland, I think would help the Nuggets. They just need
to get a backup center.
They get a backup center. They get a little wing help in Torian Prince, just guys who play hard off the bench, and you know can be a smart connector. And you don't have Bones Highland's shot selection problems that the Nuggets have been struggling with a little bit. But the Timberwolves can, you know, take a flyer on a young guy that can help out just score the ball, because they need a little bit more dynamic scoring. And that's why Tim Hardaway kind of fits for the Wolves, but I think that would be a smarter move. But I hear the idea there.
Okay. All right, let's move on here, JD, to our next trade here from Dan Favalli of Bleacher Report. Pelicans receive Malik Beasley. The Jazz receive Devontae Graham, Herb Jones, and a 2024 second-round pick by way of the Bulls. So Beasley, the key piece here, going to the Pelicans. Some three-point shooting. Guy gets him up. It's been a decent clip. And the Jazz get Devontae Graham and Herb Jones there. Any thoughts? You get a start here, Tass. Grade that trade.
Pels, very high. They're high. They are happy with the return of Herb Jones, especially for Malik Beasley.
The Jazz.
Yeah, the Jazz got to be extremely happy to get Herb Jones from Malik Beasley. You hear Danny Ainge wants the OG Anunoby rumored types. So I think Herb Jones would be a little bit of a downgrade from that. But they want those 3-and-D type guys to go around who they believe is a star and is a star this season, and Lauri Markkanen. So I think it makes a lot of sense from their perspective. And from the Jazz, yeah, you're getting a shooter and a scorer. It does make sense on both sides. Will Malik Beasley get the minutes on this team? Because they are pretty log-jammed. If you want to score, it sort of makes sense. Giving up on Herb Jones would peeve a lot of Pels fans, I think. But with the way Trey Murphy III has come along, I guess you give up on him. I don't, it seems like a little bit much for Malik Beasley, but it does make logical sense with their rotation to have a scorer on their team.
Yeah, the Pelicans definitely need shooting, but I think the Jazz have to love Herb Jones to do this and also pay the next 2 years of Devontae Graham's salary. So I personally wouldn't do this for either perspective because, I don't think I want Malik Beasley taking minutes from Trey Murphy III, who definitely has surpassed Herb Jones in my book. And also the way the Pelicans have struggled with Zion and Ingram out, I don't think they need to push all in on this season. I think they should make moves in the offseason. And, there was a lot of hype around Herb Jones last year. That's definitely fallen away this season as he's really struggled with his shot. But a promising prospect. I don't necessarily think I would do this just to potentially get Beasley chucking threes.
Okay. Drop that one there, JD. Let's move on. The Grizzlies. They're getting Kyle Kuzma. Oh, what? Kuz going to the Grizzlies, according to Dan Favalli's hypothetical trade here. Wizards receive Danny Green, David the Body Roddy, and a 2024 first-round pick, lottery protected. Okay. What do you think? Kuz to the Grizz.
Send it.
This is a great trade.
Great trade both sides.
This is Kuzma is exactly what the Grizzlies need. Shooting, defense, rebounding, size, veteranship, if you will. The only concern for me is that the Grizzlies love to draft. And they actually hit on late first-rounders.
Right, right.
So would they want to trade a late first-round pick for somebody who's 27 years old, who they then have to sign to a bigger deal in the offseason? That would give me a little bit of pause. But I think Kuzma's a difference-making player for a team like the Grizzlies. So I would be fine giving up on the idea of Danny Green, who we'll see what he has left in the tank when he gets back on the court. David Roddy, an interesting prospect, an interesting shaped guy at the very least, and then that pick. So I don't know. The Grizzlies, I think the thing the Grizzlies are most excited about that they would be giving up is that first-round pick.
Yeah.
Because they like having the cost certainty of that kind of stuff, but I think it's worth it for a guy like Kuzma.
This is the Grizzlies, in theory, this hypothetical, going for it here.
Yeah.
Seeing the opening, saying, damn, we could get to a finals here, and Kuzma maybe bumps us up a level or two. You like this?
Absolutely. I think they should go for it. The Danny Green part of it is maybe they just try to see what Danny Green gives them in that Kuzma role. He is that literally, an old version of Kyle Kuzma in a way. Three-time champ, does the 3-and-D-ing, has some attitude there to help out. Won't get in the way. Kuz, I think, will be fine with the attitude that the Grizzlies have. He'll fit in. It makes sense.
Problem is you'd have to pay him then.
That's the problem. I think they have enough first-round picks to say buy to one of them. It looks like, reading their chart here, they have a bunch to send. So I think they'd be fine sending one. You'd get a talented guy in Kuzma. But the worrisome part is, does Kuzma does he blend into this team? He's not a starter on this team. I highly doubt. Who's he going to start over? Jaren Jackson Jr. and Steven Adams have to start. Is he going to start over Dylan Brooks? I doubt it.
Right.
I don't think so.
Mm-hmm.
So
gives you
he has
options,
to fit in.
I guess, in terms of matchups.
It makes
maybe
sense.
You don't start Adam. There are some particular matchups.
It makes sense. Will Kuz be fine with that long term? I don't know. I don't know if he signs there. So I guess that's the worrisome part for the Grizzlies.
Okay. Overall, though, you guys seem to like that one. Good one there from Dan. All right, next one. Let's go to the Eastern Conference. Miami Heat. They are the winners of Bojan Bogdanović. Again, hypothetical trade here. The Pistons, in return, get Duncan Robinson in that contract. Jovic. Nikola Jovic. Not Jokic. Okay. And a 23 first-round pick, top four protected, and a 28 second-round pick. Bogdanović going to the Heat. TK, what'd you think of this one here? Is there something to it?
It's great if you're the Heat. This is exactly what they need. Bojan Bogdanović, a shooter with some size. He would basically be their Jay Crowder / PJ Tucker replacement, the stretch four that they have kind of been lacking since those guys left the team. I don't necessarily know if this is the best deal the Pistons could get, however, because if this is a top four protected pick after this season, yeah, the Pistons would be getting it from Miami, but it's going to be what? In the teens? Mm-hmm. Maybe in the 20s? Perhaps they can find a better deal there. And I don't know if they necessarily want to pay Duncan Robinson the next three seasons of his contract, though he did play college basketball for the University of Michigan, so you could pitch him as a Michigan man returning home, or you could more likely try and reroute him somewhere else, but there don't seem to be that many takers here. So it seems unlikely to me that this would get done, but I can see why Miami would want to.
Yeah, Miami, send it in. No doubt for them. But similar to the Jazz Pelicans deal, you'd be getting Duncan Robinson's contract back if you're the Pistons, and you wouldn't be getting a great first-round pick either. So, you know.
But a first-round pick, and if you're high on Jovic as a potential,
you got to be high on Jovic, yeah. Sure. So I'm not sure if they are high on Jovic, but I do think the Pistons receiving a first-round pick is what they're going to get, right, if they do move off of Bojan Bogdanović. All this posturing is all fun and games right now. Two first-round picks, bring it. Ain't gonna happen. The Jazz traded Bojan Bogdanović last year to the Pistons for Kelly Olynyk, Saben Lee, and cash. And this return would be great for Troy Weaver and the Pistons. This would be an upgrade in that first-round pick especially. You got to be happy with the first-round pick. Again, you'd probably want it to be a little bit better, and you probably – like, I don't know how high they are on Jovic, but, yeah, I don't think they do this because contract for Robinson, maybe not the best player that they can get, and try and get a better first-round pick, but – yeah, it makes sense. Go get a great pick. I think that's what the Pistons should be looking for.
All right, final one. A lot of these trades in Dan's ultimate 2023 NBA trade deadline cheat sheet, very realistic, right? Like, very, like, you know, not maybe the biggest names in the world, but you're like, okay, I can see how that could help that team, and that could help that team. There was a couple three-team deals. You know, it gets a little convoluted. But this one actually, like, was like, whoa, what? Huh. I wanted to throw it at everybody here. It is the Hornets trading for Ben Simmons and Joe Harris, with the Nets getting in return Gordon Hayward, Kelly Oubre Jr., and Mason Plumlee, the Plum Dog.
The dog himself.
And so this one, it stopped me in my tracks. but I need you to grade that trade. Hornets-Nets, hypothetical, Ben Simmons to Charlotte, and Hayward, Kelly and the Plum Dog going to Brooklyn. What do you think?
Why would the Hornets do this?
Man, why would the Nets do this?
This is why it stopped me.
This one's an F.
Okay.
Unfortunately, this is an F because I just can't understand why Charlotte would do this. For Ben Simmons, that's why they would do this?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, it's not like those three guys that are going to Brooklyn are part of their long-term plans, right? I think we'd agree with that.
It's the
hope of, like, Ben Simmons, fingers crossed, still enjoys basketball, would still like to play at an all-star level, can be a difference maker. That's you're praying and hoping that's the case.
But even this version of Ben Simmons that we're seeing right now, a solid defender who scores, you know, for a 6-minute stretch every game, is better than anything that the Hornets are sending back, really.
Mason Plumlee is better than Ben Simmons is right now.
Jeez.
Whoa. I mean, unfortunately, it's true. Mason Plumlee plays all the time.
Yeah,
Mason Plumlee puts up numbers.
Yes.
I bet he's shooting a better percentage from the free throw line than Ben Simmons
probably,
is. I didn't check.
Probably.
I also wouldn't do this if I'm the Nets. Unless
okay.
I can get PJ Washington instead of Kelly Oubre.
Oh.
Kelly Oubre is not even playing. It works in the trade machine. If you throw in a PJ instead of Kelly, I think getting Gordon Hayward, the few games he's going to play for you. Yeah. He's your new Ben Simmons, but maybe, just maybe, he's healthy in the playoffs and can make a three-pointer off the bench. P.J. Washington, a little bit of size. Mason Plumlee, a solid center at this point in his career. Reunited with the Brooklyn Nets, where he was once a slam dunk contest participant.
That's right. Yeah, so he jumped over his brother.
Bring him home.
I forgot he jumped over Miles in that dunk contest.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
They would use him this year. There's no doubt. He'd be a filler for backup minutes and would help when Nick Claxton gets in foul trouble or whatever. But he is 30-plus. He's 32 now, and you're trading him for Ben Simmons, who obviously isn't the Ben Simmons of old, but it's still... No. Still.
Mason Plumlee is 12-10 with 4 assists a game this season.
He's too good. He's hurting the Hornets' tank job here.
62% from the free throw line.
Yeah, which is like 16 percentage points better than Ben Simmons.
Put him in the hall, baby. He's not... Ben is not scoring. That's true. That's a problem with Ben Simmons.
He's also not that good of a defender because he's now a big man. Because he can't handle the ball because he doesn't want to go to the free throw line and doesn't look to score. So now he's a 4-5, and he's not a rim defender. He's like a point guard. His strength was that he was huge and fast enough to guard point guards. Now he's a backup center. Mason Plumlee knows how to play center. I can't believe it. Mason Plumlee is better than Ben Simmons. It's wild stuff.
While Ben Simmons is guarding perimeter players, I know he's forced to guard bigs, but he is, when they need somebody to guard a perimeter player, he goes and does it. He doesn't fit well in Brooklyn at times. But yeah, he plays a big man role because of who they have on their team. They got shooters, but he's still a good defender. And the thing is, you would trade for a 32-year-old, and you would just lose the hope, the possibility, the potential of Ben Simmons.
It's gone. Yeah. It's gone, and Nets fans agree it's gone. Yeah. Nets fans are already out on Ben Simmons.
That's why they should do this. Yeah. That's why the Hornets should also do this trade, though, because, I mean, Charlotte is the exact place Ben Simmons should end up in, where nobody cares, and nobody's watching them, and nobody's talking about the missed free throws or the, you know, lack of pressure on the rim. Like, this would be like basically a Markelle Fultz 2.0 here, where it's like a guy goes somewhere, he goes to Orlando, and I was like, okay. And then it's like, suddenly then, like, a year or two later, I was like, oh, he's playing okay. All right? Because there's not that scrutiny. It's not that, like, every possession, every quarter and stuff like that. And that's almost not even the case with Ben Simmons anymore. Because, to TK's point, everyone's like, the guy doesn't seem to care. He honestly just doesn't seem to like basketball when it gets down to it. And people are like, all right, he is what he is. Guy makes $35 to $40 million for the next couple of years. Oh, geez, okay. But Charlotte is not giving up a ton here. And at least, I guess my point is, you can sell the dream of Ben Simmons getting back to all-star level Ben Simmons in Charlotte to your fan base with LaMelo and whatever more than you can Gordon Hayward and a Plum Dog and a Kelly Oubre Jr. Obviously,
I agree they should trade those guys.
Yeah.
I'd rather get picks back.
Okay, yeah, that's fair. That's a good point.
So the Nets traded James Harden for Mason Plumlee in the end. Wow. A guy you could literally get for... on August 27th, when everybody's signing for minimum contracts. The Nets traded, you know, if you want to go trade ancestry, they traded Jared Allen for James Harden to get, you know, to make this happen in that wild four-way deal. And they traded Ben Simmons to the Hornets? Is that what's going to happen for Mason Plumlee? So this is one of those no, yes trades? That's what it sounds like. It sounds like, you know, a shot going up. That shouldn't be made, but it's like a trade. Shouldn't be made, but I guess it could. I don't know.
It won't. But it's a fun one to debate. I'm glad we bought it, slipped it in there. Thanks to Dan there, Bleacher Report, for all of those trades. There's another 25 if you want to do those tomorrow. And you get into the three-team deals. Whew, trying to wrap your head around them. Man, it's difficult.
This is good.
Very good.
Two is good.
Grade that trade. I love it.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service that you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, Everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
All right, pick 'em results last night. Oh boy, I took the rap. So did Tass. That's a loss. Suns covered the 2.5-point spread at home. TK got it right. He's 14-6. This guy's on fire. I'm 6-14. I'm the opposite. You're 9-11. Not bad. Not great, but not bad.
No. Not
great. Tonight's game, where are we going?
We're going to New York, Madison Square Garden. Will LeBron and Anthony Davis will be playing?
Will they? Is LeBron playing for sure?
He better be.
I don't think it's confirmed.
What did Darvin Ham say? Serious?
Yeah, he was.
He was saying his foot soreness was serious.
I did not see that report from Darvin Ham.
His knees are sore from dropping to them after being upset by an official call.
Soreness. No call.
The back is sore from rolling around on the floor. It's possible, I suppose, that he sits out and times passing of Kareem for when he wants it. But we just expected him to play in Madison Square Garden on this tour here.
Let's hope he plays.
And I also picked this game because we will be watching it live on playback. The Knicks at home, favored by 2.5. Trey and I think that the Lakers, you know, getting those couple points will take care of business. Skeets, why do you like the Knicks?
Oh, man, I've had a brutal run here in January. But during our playback games, when we have had that game as our pick 'em line, I'm solid.
Wow, you're tracking your playback picks. Amazing.
Yep. I think I'm only 1-0 in those games, but better than 6-14. Knicks, baby, come on. What are you talking about? Julius Randle against his old team? LeBron or not? Are you kidding me?
I've been struggling.
38 points for Julius Randle tonight. Lock it in.
I like that.
5 made threes. Brunson with a cool 28. Probably a clutch jumper late. Then we get into a foul situation and they cover. Knicks by 4. See you tonight on playback. Great. No reason now. Just told you what's going to happen. Let's get to Tweet of the Night.
Tweet of the Night. Wow.
This tweet is a bit of a notice. It's put you on notice. An informational tweet, really. This is from FIBA Basketball.
Okay.
From the FIBA Basketball World Cup Twitter account, I guess. There's a tournament happening in August, September. It's called the World Cup of Basketball. Hasn't been played in 4 years.
All right.
So Just put it on the calendar. August 25th to September 10th happens in Asia, in Japan, Indonesia, and the Philippines. And let me get you excited for the tournament. Luka will be playing. Giannis will be playing. I assume Victor Wembanyama will be playing for France. They'll be there.
Wow.
I assume Shai Gilgeous-Alexander will be playing for Canada. Is that right, Skeets?
I think so.
Yeah, he was,
you never
on,
know.
He was on that roster.
Yeah.
I imagine Canada will be there.
They had a lot of the guys on the roster. Some didn't play because of injury reasons and stuff. But
they qualified. Lowry Markkanen will be there. A couple Wagners. Lots of Spaniards. Sabonis will be there.
Be a damn good tournament if all these guys play.
Yeah, I imagine so. Yeah. And, you know, I went conservative. I assume that these guys are all playing. I assume the USA will be playing. It's very difficult to tell if they qualify, but I think they did qualify in last summer. I think Norris Cole led them to some victories or something. Anyway, it's tough to tell. Nice. But I think they will be there, considering they were knocked out by France in the last World Cup of Basketball in 2019 in the QFs, the quarterfinals. Evan Fournier was doing Evan Fournier things, FIBA Basketball Fournier. So, you know, they need a little bit of a come back. So I assume they'll be there. It feels like they will. And it's going to be a great tournament. And I say this because I watched last year the Euro tournament, a blast. Yeah, USA's not there, right?
I don't think USA is in this.
This doesn't make sense. Why wouldn't they be there?
Yeah.
But yeah, that's why I was hesitant to say that they're there because I couldn't find them. But,
I don't think they are, according to the website there. Yeah, well, FIBA's World Cup website.
Yeah, or the Wikipedia page did not include them as a qualifier.
Canada is there, though, baby.
Yeah. There's 32 teams. I'd assume the United States of America would qualify for the men's basketball tournament. 32 teams.
There's actually 33 teams. I hate to... Well, actually, you.
Why?
I guess Japan as the host.
So?
Are also in there, yeah.
So you need to get an extra team
dude,
in there?
I don't know what to tell you, man. I'm just reading their website.
But that's only 17 teams right there. I mean, the other.
You're right. Where are the other teams?
They haven't qualified yet.
Jesus.
They still got to qualify.
This show is a shit show today, isn't it?
Well, you shouldn't have said 33.
Why did I think that was 33?
That's the qualifiers run through February 2023.
Yeah.
Seven countries from the Americas will earn.
There should have been more information in this tweet, is what we're getting at.
Yeah.
Either way, I mean, I named you all the qualified participants of stars that are going to be there. Mm. And I just thought the USA would have qualified, but I guess they haven't. And Norris Cole's going to have to do some work in February, I guess, if they're still part of it. But either way, they're going to be one of the last 15 teams to qualify,
I assume.
Sure. So
80 national teams are in the hunt to secure those 32 spots. You're absolutely correct.
Get ready for a fun tournament happening late August, early September. It's a nice timing for basketball fans. Last year, I watched the Euro tournament. A blast.
Yeah.
That's why I love Lowry so much, because I watched the rise of Lowry before he did in the NBA.
Mm. Markkanen. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he's a one-name guy to me, Skeets, but it's up to you. If you want to go, two names.
Lowry. You say, when you're saying it like that, I was thinking,
no.
Lowry has the Lowry name over Lowry.
Not anymore, my man.
What?
The game moves fast. Lowry was the Lowry 4 years ago.
No, hold on. You're trying to tell me if you said Lowry, and I know it comes down to how you say it, but like if you said Lowry,
no,
you think people are thinking Markkanen before Kyle Lowry. No.
Basketball
Not
fans,
yet.
Yeah.
No way.
You're old.
Give me
the kids.
The guy's been around. He's had one good year. We're talking about a guy that's had been in the league playing at an all-star level for basically a decade. No.
Not anymore. It's been years.
I didn't say now.
It's been years, not a decade.
He's a six-time all-star.
Do you want me to say the finisher?
Yeah, that's good.
That's a good nickname.
Let's call him. Well, let's give him an American Gladiators. Maybe they have a Finnish Gladiators.
Finns. Great at swimming.
Sable.
Ice.
Ice. Ice is good.
Ice. Yeah.
All right, we're calling him Ice.
It's cold there.
The Ice Man.
Ice.
Nice ice.
All right. Let's call it there. Eh? Six-time All Star for Kyle Lowry, 2019 champion, All NBA. He still got it.
What was Lowry's last All-Star game? 19? Is that one? Did he make the All-Star game?
Did he make it the next year?
He could have made it that
19-20.
Next year.
Yeah,
okay,
yeah,
nice.
Next
year. That's pretty good that year.
He averaged 19 and 8 basically that year.
That was a good year.
Good year. That's it for today's No Dunks podcast. Whoa, what a ride. Leave your boys a 5-star rating and review. We really appreciate that. Make sure you hit that like button for all your shop teachers out there. And for us, make sure you subscribe to No Dunks on YouTube. Join us tonight on Playback, 7:30 p.m. Eastern. Is LeBron playing? We don't know, but we'll find out together. Lakers-Knicks, we'll bounce around. Heat-Cavs, Clips-Bulls. It's going to be a blast. We got to come up with a name for it, but... Right now, crunch surfing is the
crunch surfing
the leading name
for
our No Dunks watch party. Who's this, Jamie?
Ice.
We got Ice.
Wow.
Oh, we already had an Ice.
That was quick.
Wow, man, is that what she looks like now?
Day to day,
I think it's from a now versus then.
Yeah, sure.
She looks great.
She looks great.
That ice hasn't melted one bit.
Still chiseled.
John, I loved American Gladiators as a kid, man. I remember they tried to bring it back, right?
They did. I think you're right. Yeah.
Was
Gina
Hulk
Carano?
Hulk?
Was she involved? Maybe? I don't know.
Hulk Hogan was in it for a second too. Hulk Hogan, or was it?
It should have been Kurt Angle.
And no, then it was. Yeah,
he could pull it off.
It was the daughter of Muhammad Ali's daughter?
Layla.
Man, why am I...
Yeah, okay. That sounds familiar.
Yeah, I think these are... Oh, yeah, both are right. Hulk Hogan and Layla Ali were the new hosts when they tried to bring it back. Sportscaster Van Earl Wright was the play-by-play announcer for that one.
Live from Los Angeles! Coming to you live!
Man. Main characters? Crush, Helga, Venom, Siren, classic, Wolf, Militia, Toa, Titan, and Justice. Those were, I guess, the New Age gladiators.
I like Titan.
Yeah.
That's a good name.
Good names.
There wasn't a Titan in the first one.
Maybe.
Sounds like it.
Yeah. There were maybe just they had some vets in the locker room. All right, here's how you fire the gun with the tennis
presence.
Balls. Here's how assault works.
Oh, you're saying...
You lose an eye out there. Listen up, Venom.
That's how Venom talks.
No, he's more like... I'm gonna get you in Breakthrough and Conquer.
That's Venom, was Batman.
I don't know.
Venom is a woman.
That was Bane. Venom was a woman.
I think so.
Oh, honestly.
I thought it was a new Titan, but you think that they've trademarked the names? Like, if I'm Titan, I'm gonna be in the new show. I think they just
I don't know. It could have been
new Titan.
The son of Titan.
Son of Titan.
That sounds
son
cool
of Titan's
too.
Cool, yeah. We gotta see if we can find like an American Gladiators replay when we're watching playback tonight.
Yeah. Playback.
I'd watch it.
2008 I'd watch an Eliminator. Back. Hell yeah, I would watch the hell out of this show right now. God, Wesley Two Scoops Barry. Given 1,010%, he would say all the time. He would always up it. 100% one week. Who's this?
This is Venom.
She doesn't look like a Venom at all.
I don't know. They're running out of names, I guess.
Yeah. One of
Venom to
them.
Me would, I mean, have red hair, first off.
Wait, what?
I don't know.
Like a poison ivy.
Poison ivy, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah. Nice. Green or red?
Maybe just like
green hair, yeah. Like Shotzi.
Some pink. On the outfit,
some highlights?
Like a slime, you know, a little decal.
I don't know. Let's just keep naming American Gladiators, and then JD will randomly pull a picture every once in a while. Be like, oh yeah, nice.
All right, we got time,
man.
We keep going.
So yeah, playback starts in about
Wings. Would
eight
that be a
hours?
Good American Gladiator name? Wings.
WNBA team name.
Yeah.
All right, join us tonight. Okay, we'll talk American Gladiators while we watch a little NBA. Clipper Bros.
You heard it here first. Have a great time. Turn up. Love you guys. Awesome.
Thanks for joining us. And remember, when Kyle Lowry won a title, we were called the starters, but now we're the finishers. Not really. Why were we named the starters? Nobody knows. It's a mystery.
People in the stream team are saying, FTB. FTB.
Oh, no.
FTB.
Fade the boys.
Brace the day, people. And then you've got to come back. Come on back. There you go.
Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.